Thank you so much. And I think that not that we bypass prayer, but sometimes we just rush right through. And I want us to realize that we need to pray also in our own devotional life that way. We don't need to just rush right through. And I'm the world's worst, possibly. Just rush right through. And just because we got so many things to do that day. And I challenge you to slow down. Challenge myself, slow down and pray and stay with the Lord for a while and just not be in such a rush. Our world is push, push, push. And so maybe that would be a good instruction for all of us. I forgot Miss Risa's son-in-law, Justin. We're praying for him. He's battling kidney stones. Going to have some busted up and taken out. And then it looks like his body is making them. Of course, his body is, if you got them, but I mean making more than just the occasional one. So once you pray for Justin, the Lord would strengthen him and help him. So, well, let's get into the Bible, shall we? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 13. I want to teach for a little while about human government. Lord willing, I'll do this tonight, next week, just a two-part lesson about it. And don't blame me when we get to point number two. I don't like it any better than you do, so just hold on when we get there. But we're looking at human government in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 13. As we look at it, we see that the Bible clearly tells us in verse 13 of 1 Peter 2, submit yourselves. That just means bring under the authority. Submit yourselves to every ordinance, to every regulation, to all those things that come out of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. And so as we look at this, I want us to see what the Bible says about human government. God created some way for people to be governed. And I know that all of us think about all the regulations that people put on, that the government puts on our nation, and it's frustrating if you try to build something, you try to tear something down, you try to bring something up, all those things, and we've got regulations that choke us out many times, and I realize that. But we ought to still, though, behave a certain way toward our government that God has allowed to be raised up, because the Bible teaches us in these passages, and we'll get looking at it in just a little while. So, Father, bless us now is our prayer. I pray for these next 10, 15 minutes, dear Lord, that you let us just get insight. Lord, we want to not only be good Christians, but we want to be good citizens. And so, dear Lord, I don't think we can be a good Christian without being a good citizen. We might be a good citizen, not even be saved, but I believe we're a good Christian. It'll drive us to be a good citizen. And I pray that you'd help us to see some of these things that we probably already know, but now we can put an address to them in the Scriptures, and so know why we believe that. In Jesus' name, amen. As I said in the prayer, it's possible to be a great citizen, but not even be saved. You could be unsaved as the Dickens and still be a good citizen. But if you're a Christian, it's understood that you should be a good citizen. You can be one without the other, but you can't be the Christian without being a good citizen. Because eventually, if you read your Bible, follow the Lord, and pray and seek His face, God will lead you to be that model citizen, because those powers, even though they may be ungodly, long before we get started to think about, well, yes, but our governor is not our governor. He's been here in this auditorium, prayed with him and prayed over him, and he prayed for us. And so we thank God for him. But let's say it wasn't that one. Say you lived in a state that was anything but traditional religious values that he was interested in. We're still supposed to honor him. We're still supposed to honor them. You say, well, what if so-and-so does completely wrong? How can we submit ourselves to them? I'll get to that in just a little bit. But do you remember back in the Old Testament when God would take those kings from wicked nations and God would move them like he wanted them to be moved? Because the king's heart's in the hand of the Lord. He doesn't have to be a saved king to be in God's hand. God will move him as he wants him. He'll put him up and he'll put him down. So let's get into it tonight, shall we? Look, if you will, at Romans chapter 13. We're in 1 Peter. Just go back. Romans after Acts. Romans chapter 13, verse number 1. The Bible tells us, again, much of the same verbiage that we had there in 1 Peter, but it tells us how we're supposed to be subject again. Are you at Romans 13, verse number 1? The Bible says, let every soul be subject unto the higher power. That's the state authorities, if they looked at that root word, the powers that be there. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained or commissioned of God. Look on verse number 2. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive themselves damnation or judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have the praise of the same. Let me go on and finish with this next verse. For he is the minister of God. Who's the minister of God? That ordinance that God put up over top of you, those ones that are in ruling over you. He's the minister of God for to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he's the minister of God. God reiterates it and doubles down on it, a revenger to execute wrath upon them all, upon him that doeth evil. So we understand, it talks a little bit more in verse number 6, it calls them God's ministers again. But we see that we're supposed to accept and reverence those powers that are ordained of God. Now, it's hard for my little brain to wrap around this thing, because I know that many people that are in these positions, as I mentioned already, they're as wicked as the day is long. And you know it as well as I do. They're making laws that are anything but godly. You know right now being argued about all in the news about Roe v. Wade and all of the things about abortion. And can we just say that the scriptures clearly teach that life begins at conception? And it's all the way until natural death. God protects that life. We're the ones that come along and mess up what God's already done. But you know we've got lawmakers that believe anything but that. But even those ones, I'm commanded to have respect for them. I'm commanded to, in order, be subject unto them. And as we said, we'll get to that part where that we're subject unto them until they say something that's not godly. And we'll say some of these things next week. But we understand that we're supposed to recognize and accept that the powers are of God. And I don't know if we believe that. You say, how do you know what I believe? I'm just telling you what I have a hard time believing. But I have to go back to the scriptures. Because the scripture says that authority, as if authority were just an entity over here, all authority is dished out by God. Even if the people in those areas of authority are wicked and they're wrong and they're not doing right, the entity of authority is of God, and he puts the people up as he will. And I know what we're thinking, yeah, but what about when they tell us to do something that's ungodly? Again, we'll get to that here in just a little bit. But we're supposed to recognize and accept these powers are ordained. We ordain people here. We ordain folks that are in the gospel ministry. What does that mean? We set them apart. Really, we don't set them apart. We just recognize that God's already set them apart. But we ordain them. The deacons will gather around, some staff will gather around, some visiting pastors gather around, put their hands on them and ordain them, will commission them. Well, the Bible uses that same word to say that these people are ordained of God, commissioned of God. So we're supposed to recognize that. I want you to think about this. When this passage was originally given to the people of Rome, you think we have rough leaders? That was when the book of Romans was written to the people at first, and God first gave it. Nero, the most wicked ruler in history, and many say, was on the throne. And that's the person that was in charge, so to speak, humanly speaking, when God was using Paul to write that the people of Rome were supposed to be subject unto the higher power. So remember that next time we think about, yeah, well, I would obey somebody if he was a godly somebody, but I can't obey that one because that person is not right. Well, Nero certainly wasn't right, but we're supposed to be subject. Look, if you will, at Titus chapter 3, verse number 1. It'll say, again, much of what we already said, but it talks about us being subject. If you find any of the books that start with T, you'll find Titus. So all of them are together. Titus, chapter number 3. God is using, again, Paul to write to this young preacher boy, Timothy, and he tells them to put them in mind about things. That's like when your grandma will say, I want to remind you about some things. I want to bring some things to your attention. Put them in mind to be subject to the principalities and the powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. We're supposed to be subject. Now, the part that we all like to use as a clause to get out, an exemption clause, if you will, is we must obey God when the law is unscriptural. Look at Acts chapter 4, verse number 18. We'll let your fingers do the walking through some of the scriptures tonight. Acts chapter 4, verse number 18 through 20. And if this gets to this place in our nation that something like this happens, then I'll be giving you, I won't be broadcasting on live stream, but I'll be giving you a command that we need to disobey and we need to go do what God tells us to do. Look at verse 18. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. We've got to obey God when the law is unscriptural. But remember, as much as we like to throw this exemption clause up, this doesn't happen that often. We live in the most blessed nation in all of the world, I believe. And I think that we live in the best place of the nation right here. But we've got a place, I can go to these doors around, unless that person tells me to get off my porch, then I'm not doing any good there anyways. But I'm allowed to go to all these houses and say I'm the pastor of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. I'd like to invite you to church. More than that, I'd like to invite you to heaven. I've got freedom to do that. We've got freedom to broadcast on the radio, which we do. We've got freedom to broadcast on live stream, which we do. We've got freedom to put signs up, which we do. We've got all of these things, but we're still, if those issues changed, then we would certainly be obligated to obey God. The verse number 29 in Acts chapter 5, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather or not man. So we're to recognize and accept the powers that be or ordained of God. And I still don't know whether I get this completely or not, but I'm just telling you that God created the home first, God created government, and God created the church, the three entities. That's why a church is not supposed to be governed by the state. Because God made the church, and that separation of church and state, you've heard the phrase, and it certainly bears repeating, that wasn't to keep the church out of the state house, that was designed to keep the state out of what goes on in church, because the church already has its orders from the Bible, but God made the government, God made the home, and God made the church, and so we are commanded to recognize and accept the powers because they're ordained, commissioned, of God. Number two, the one we won't like, look at Matthew chapter 17, if you will. Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew. We're supposed to pay our taxes to the government. And I know you're thinking, oh, Pastor, why did you go there? I understand. I don't like them either. You should get a good accountant, so don't pay any more than you absolutely have to. Make sure that you find every way out of doing that. Don't pay any more than you have to. Have all you can for your family and to do better things with. Matthew chapter 17, though, verse number 24. And when they were come to Capernaum, that they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, doth not your master pay tribute? He saith, yes. And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, what thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute, levy taxes on them? Of their own children or of the strangers? Peter saith unto him, of strangers. Jesus saith unto him, then are the children free? Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast an hook and take up the fish that first cometh up, and when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money, and that take, and give unto them for me and for thee. Now, I don't know about you, but I'd like to know where Jesus fishes. That'd be a wonderful thing. But the precedent is set to say that those taxes are... There's a preacher that I know. I've heard him preach. He came to our church years and years ago in West Virginia, and he was convinced that these certain taxes were illegal, that they couldn't and shouldn't be levied against him, a Christian ministry. And he said that all the way until he went to prison. And now he's out. Still preaches probably he shouldn't do it, but that's immaterial. And I think he was a phenomenal presenter. Whether he's a great preacher or not, I don't know, but he was a phenomenal presenter. But all of his ability got squelched because he wouldn't pay what was his to pay. So we see that we're supposed to pay taxes to the government. Let me read to you Romans chapter 13. The Bible says in verse number 7, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute. And we see that we are to pay our taxes to the government. And that's all I want to say about that. Let's move on. We're like that one family says, yeah, we got some family meetings. It's some rough air. I know, but get over the rough air quick and get to something that we like better. Now, number 3, we're supposed to pray for our leaders. Look, if you will, in 1 Timothy chapter number 2. This gets back to the commissioned of God part. I don't care. I could sit up here and name people, and you could sit down there and name people that we know are seemingly diametrically opposed to anything that this book says. There's some of our national leaders who, you read it in here, just mark it down. I don't even know what their position is, but I almost know for sure it's directly opposite of this. But here's a few things that we're supposed to do. Let me find my place here. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. The Bible says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Okay? That means we're supposed to pray for everybody. But God labels some, puts some people out specifically so we don't get forgetful of them for kings. In our case, the president. He may not be your favorite president, but I detest the statements when people say he's not my president. People say it about this one, and they say it about the other one. I'm a citizen of the United States of America. This is my president. The last one was my president, and the one before was my president. I may not have voted for all of them, and I did not, but they're still my president. I pray for them. I'm commanded to respect them. I may not respect any of the issues that they fall down upon. I may disagree, and vocally, that's fine, but I still am supposed to honor the position that they hold. The Bible says, for kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. So we're supposed to pray for our leaders. We see that quiet and peaceable life, that's for us, verse number 2. We see for kings are in all authority that we may lead that quiet and peaceable life. That's what we want. We want a quiet and peaceable life. Anybody with any sense wants one. If you want a life with torment and problems and all kinds of stuff, something's, Larry Brown would say, you're crippled too high for crutches. So something's wrong with you. We all want peace. But then letter B, as you see it underneath there, we also want godliness and honesty before our leaders. Verse number 3, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. At the end of verse number 2, that life of godliness and honesty. And then we see in verse number 3 that this kind of life, this praying for God's leaders, this praying for the leaders in our nation, whether wicked, ungodly, let God sort that out. But what we see that before God, verse number 3, it's good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. So sometimes we act like we're teaching God some things. Well, God, I'm going to pray for all the leaders that are worthy of it. But now some of these other yard birds, they do not deserve. They may need prayer, but they need some imprecatory prayers that you would do something. And God can do whatever He wants. But I'm telling us that we get ourselves in a bad way to be the judge, the jury, and try to teach God who He needs to bless and who He needs to use and who He needs to change His dynamics with. We are commanded to pray for our leaders, for the kings, all that are in authority. We see if we look at that backwards instead of forwards, we see it's quiet and peaceable for us in verse number 2. It's good godliness and honesty at the end of verse 2, and then good and acceptable before God. Let's just turn that around. Let's say if we start at verse number 3 and we realize that it's good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. Let's start there and think about our relationships being vertical instead of horizontal. You think God's not capable of removing anybody from any position that he wants to. Now, please don't get me wrong. As we close, I'm not saying that you support them to the position where you say, wow, I'm supporting their position. I take you to an illustration about, as the Bible talks to us about honoring father and mother. There are people that go to this church, their father and mother are completely out in left field as far as anything traditional, anything godly, anything moral, anything righteous, anything ethical, and anything good. But those people who have those parents like that, they are still commanded to honor them. They're never commanded to take their ungodliness and their immorality and their wickedness and say, wow, I'm going to honor you by duplicating your life into mine. I'm going to mock you. I'm going to mimic you. And I'm going to follow in your footsteps. That's not honor. But what is honor is to give honor to that person, their position, not necessarily to their procedures. And so the same we find ourselves with the government that we've got. We are given a command, as we already looked at in 1 Peter chapter 2. And we see that it tells us, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man. And it tells us why. For the Lord's sake. And I hope that we have a little better understanding. Do we agree with? Do we support their legislation? Oftentimes not. But do we pray for and honor their position? If we're biblical, we do. And I trust that we've had a good time in God's Word tonight. Father, I pray that you bless us. And Lord, as we look into this tricky situation, dear Lord, and we realize that our leaders are oftentimes wicked. But regardless of that, Lord, you'll handle that. We can vote them out, Lord, and we ought to. But while they're in, may we not be the ones that lob unkind gestures and unkind words against that position, because, Lord, you've set them up in there. Maybe our nation is so wicked and we're getting what we deserve in many of these people, and that's why you're doing it. But, Lord, our job is to pray for them and be subject to them. And I pray that you'd help us to do that in Jesus' name. Would you stand together with me as they begin to play? And if God's spoken to your heart, I know it's a Bible study about human government. It's hard to hit the altar on that. But I don't know what you've been facing this week. Maybe there's something that's been difficult in your life and you just like to come and pray. The altar's open for you. And you feel free to come pray. I try never to close a service without asking this question. Perhaps you're here and you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven. I certainly did not preach about that. But I mentioned the Lord Jesus Christ when he sent his disciples to get the fish with had money for the taxes, and he performed that miracle there. Well, that's the same Jesus that came and died on the cross for your sins and for mine. And maybe you're here tonight when they're a heavy, heavy load and you need Jesus Christ as your Savior. As they play another verse, if that's you tonight, you'd like to have somebody speak to you briefly or take all the time you need about your soul, would you step out and come, and I'll meet you down at the front. Thank you so much. You may look this way, and it's a joy to get to see each and every one of you. It's wonderful to see Brother Tyler, Miss Ayla Johnson here, Brother Archie, Miss Diane's son and daughter-in-law. They're here for just a little while, and we're certainly thankful for them being here with us. And then we're glad to see each of you, though. Thank you for being here. I almost had a fist bump time, which would be the old, if you live in the old days, that was the handshaking time. But that was way back when, before COVID. I almost had a fist bump time, fellowship time. But we didn't. But I do challenge you to get to see two or three people that you haven't talked to on your way in. And tell them it's good to see them in church. Tell them looks like they're losing weight. Looks like they're, you're getting fit. If you feel like that's a lie, tell them they got a nice car. If that's a lie, Tell them you're still walking. Tell them whatever you can tell them, something positive before you leave. Talk to two or three people. I challenge you before you get out of here. God bless you. Have a great night.